It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled right here on a Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks for being with us. We're at General RV at Point of the Mountain. You can come down, throw your name in the box to enter to win third row Jazz tickets for December 17th versus the San Antonio Spurs. Third row is nothing to mess with. You get to wear the placard. You get to tell people you were on the third row. Probably catch a little bit of sweat off of Mike Conley if you're lucky. No problem.
Oh, you can smell the sweat. You smell what the players smell like, actually.
Listen,
that's how close you are.
That's a sensory experience that you – it's a once-in-a-lifetime. So come down, enter to win by just dumping your name in the old box here at the General RV at Point of the Mountain. Part of the Tour de Fans. Yeah, you could – it might be – this is a lifetime opportunity for you. All right, joining us right now at the top of the hour is Mark Johnson. He's the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, thanks for being with us, man.
You bet, guys. Happy to be on with you.
So as we were – we just got off the horn with Pete Arbogast with USC as BYU's going down to L.A. And Utah takes on Colorado this week. And so we've got all of our bases covered with the play-by-play guys. What's your favorite venue to go to across the country?
Oh, across the country. That's a good question. I was going to say the Pac-12. You know, I mean, obviously it's cool going to the Rose Bowl, but across the country. You know, I've been in the Big Ten, I've been in Big 12 and the Big East at different times in my career. You know, I mean, you know, I've been to a number of SEC schools and some national games there. I think probably, you know, where a great spot is Blacksburg, Virginia.
You know, Virginia Tech. There. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that was one when I was in the Big East, obviously, back in my Syracuse days. That was always kind of a fun spot to go to. And, you know, I mean, there's the ones we always think about, going to the Big House or, you know, going to Alabama or something like that. But, you know, Blacksburg was always kind of cool when I had a chance to do some games there.
Interesting. Yeah, you wouldn't hear
really,
that right
Yeah, really back. Interesting. Yeah. So this is rivalry week around the Pac-12. Traditionally, Utah-Colorado is the, I guess, the
– quote-unquote rival, I guess.
Right, yeah, it's kind of the arranged marriage rivalry.
Yes, exactly.
Someone had a shotgun for this one. Is there such a thing – I mean, is there such a thing as a Utah-Colorado rivalry?
Well, you know, if you talk to real longtime fans back in 1940, there probably was. But, you know, since it's become the incarnation of the Pac-12, rather, no. I mean, there's no rivalry there. I was talking with a coaching friend of mine about that, this very thing, in fact, just earlier today. You can't force that. It has to happen, you know, organically. Something has to happen. There's going to be some bad blood, or both teams have to be very, very good on a consistent basis, which Colorado has not done here, obviously, in recent years. If you have that kind of thing going on, I think a rivalry can blossom, but you can't force it. Like you said, it's an arranged marriage, and it's just because Colorado played Nebraska and they wore red, you know, for many, many years the day after Thanksgiving doesn't automatically make, you know, Utes wearing red uniforms a rival for Colorado. But, you know, they tried to force that, and it is what it is. And at some point, maybe something, you know, both teams will be very good or something crazy will happen in the ball game. There'll be some controversy. That'll light a spark, and maybe then it can happen. But right now, it's just, I think for both schools, it's probably just the last game in the schedule.
Carl Durrell is, you know, was thrown in after Mel Tucker's, you know, quick stint there in Boulder. Carl Durrell comes in, and he's got a long list of, you know, we talked to him at Pac-12 Media Days, and he's a guy who, you know, you don't look at him and go, no, he doesn't know what he's doing. This is a guy who's been coaching for a long, long time.
Yeah.
What type of team did he inherit, and what has to happen at Colorado for that turnaround to happen fully?
Well, I think what has to happen is one thing that you folks in Salt Lake City have had. You get a quality coach who's been here for a long, long time as a chance to build a program. Listen, this is my 18th season calling the Buffaloes. And, you know, you've had, you know, Gary Barnett, who's now my broadcast partner, talk about coming full circle. You got Gary Barnett and then Dan Hawkins and then John Embry and then Mike McIntyre and then Mel Tucker. And you can't do that. It's just been too much turnover over the course of the last, you know, since Gary was let go back in 2005. It's just been too much. And, no, should all of those guys been given longer periods of time? Not necessarily. But when you find a guy, and I think the early returns on Carl look pretty solid, he seems to be building a foundation. I think the administration's very happy with him. You've got to let that cure and have a chance then to build something because, you know, Colorado is not where you're going to come. And you know, it's not going to be Alabama right off the bat. It's not going to be something like that. So you've got to build something. You've got to develop players. And there has to be a culture that then is consistent. And I think that's the thing. They're going to have to give Carl some time. Last year, you know, in that truncated season, you know, going 4-1 during the regular season, that was a very nice start. They've obviously very much struggled on offense this year and have not got the quarterback play they were hoping to get. And that's really hurt things because the defense, you know, has been relatively solid. Special teams have been very, very good. And, you know, so there have been some issues they've dealt with this year. But you can kind of see what he's trying to do. And I think you've got to give him some time to put that together.
Yeah, so there's really not much to play for in this game. Utah's already assured itself winning the Pac-12 South. Colorado's trying to create a culture and identity. What do you expect out of this game on Friday between Utah and Colorado?
Well, you know, I think like you said, I hope the Utes are terribly disinterested. Let's put it that way from a Colorado perspective. I hope they're just saying, okay, let's get ready for the Pac-12 title game. For Colorado, what you want to see, just some continued progression. Let the guy, you know, the injury bug has hit Colorado terribly. They've lost a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, missing some guys, including Brendan Rice this weekend, who's an outstanding wide receiver. So the depth, which wasn't great to begin with, is even thinner than it has been. So, you know, it's about player development. It's about, you know, continuing the culture and all the things we talk about for Colorado. Can they get up out of this ball game and have some positive there, take them into the off season, and then try and build on it, you know, when recruiting day rolls around on December 15th. I mean, those are the kind of things I think you hope for. You know, kind of young quarterback who is going to have great competition come next year with JT Shrout, the transfer, who many thought was going to start this season. You know, Brendan Lewis get a little bit better, so, you know, he has a positive step going into the off season, back in that quarterback competition. I mean, those are the kind of things I think you're looking for.
Mark Johnson, play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us here on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What do you see out of Utah? Like, I think, obviously, we follow them really, really closely, but
sure.
you can't help but see over the last, you know, month and a half, and obviously the dismantling of Oregon last week kind of culminated everybody seeing Utah make a massive transformation this year. What have you seen out of Kyle Whittingham's team?
Well, what I love is just the consistency, right? I mean, you know, Thomas has been outstanding carrying the football. I wonder to myself, why wasn't Cameron Rising starting from day one, right? I mean, when I've watched Utah this season, I see a pretty dynamic guy that's able to run the football a little bit, and I wonder what was going on there in camp when I wasn't following them, you know, that put him on the bench to start the season. But he's been dynamic. You know, the way they utilize the tight ends, you know, they do a lot of 12 and 22, personnel out there, and you see that. So a physical football team, it is what we expect from Utah. And I've always said that about, I don't care what your organization is. I don't care if you're talking football or you're talking a bike shop or a burger joint, whatever it is. You got to have an identity, right? You have to know what you are, what you do. We know what Kyle Whittingham football is at Utah. They've been very physical over the years. They generally play very solid defense. They got a lot of youth on that side of the ball, but they're very physical. Play very solid on defense. We know exactly what they are. And so, you know, when I popped the tape in here a couple of days ago and started getting my first look at them and started preparing for this game, I went, well, that looks like Utah football to me. I mean, they are what they are. And they average over 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing, so they're very balanced on that side of the ball. It's just it's a fun football team to watch for me. If you love the game of football, I think you look at Utah and go, yep, that's what they are every year. You appreciate that. Maybe you got a little ebb and flow, but it's been pretty solid over the course of, Kyle's career there.
Yeah, you know, the whole point about why wasn't Cam Rising starting at the beginning of the year. I mean, Charlie Brewer was a guy who'd had a lot of success, and I think
and
watching him in the spring, he looked so sharp. But as soon as it got live, it just changed. He changed. He was very pedestrian. There was no anything. And the minute Cam Rising came in, it was just a spark instantly.
Yeah.
And this kid's just playing his like first year, and he's he's not playing like a first-year player. I mean, it's just been really, really, really impressive. But the funny thing, Mark, is Utah is like it's off its axis. I mean, you talk about being the same team. Utah's winning with its offense, not its defense. Yeah. I mean, and so that's a little different thing there. And the defense is kind of catching up, but it's been an interesting year to watch. And the Pac-12 in general, you know, it's just it's so wacky, and there's going to be a lot of coaching changes. Do you guys look at that at Colorado and say, because you know when a new coach comes in, it's going to take time to grow and develop a program. Do you look at that and say, you know, we're ahead of that. We already got our guy, and we're a few steps. Do you see Colorado making a big jump in the conference next year and even moving forward?
Well, that's what you hope for. You hope the Colonel Durrell and the Buffaloes are able to take advantage of that. You know, having a 1.5-year head start on this because of, you know, what went down last year. You hope that's the case and he's able to build on that. There is a lot of young talent on this team. This is not a very old football team. In fact, last week at Senior Day, you know, they only had 5 seniors. Now there's a few juniors because of the COVID year that have graduating, and I'd imagine the vast majority of those guys are not going to be back. So it is a very young football team, and you hope to build on that then. So, you know, can they add a solid class coming up here, you know, in 3-4 weeks when signing day happens, and then add to that and continue the progression of building the culture that he's trying to build? That's the hope anyway, right? I mean, that's the way they're laying out the plan right now, and time will tell whether it's, you know, they're able to do that or not. But you certainly should be able to. You should be able to see some improvement. It's a very low bar, but, you know, it's interesting. As consistent as Utah has been since the creation of the Pac-12, Colorado's only won 3 or more games in league play 4 times. And one was Mike McIntyre in 2016 when they went 8-1 at a top-10 team. That was a magical season, obviously. Mel Tucker won 3, and Carl Durrell, even in a shortened season last year, had 3 wins in this year. So it's a pretty low bar.
Wow.
But when you look at the history of the Buffs football-wise in the Pac-12, He's matched or exceeded what his predecessors have done. So, and listen, when you've gone this long, having kind of a dry spell, say for 2016, you're kind of grasping at straws a little bit. But trying to read the tea leaves, I think I see some positive coming, and I certainly hope so.
So 4 wins is a big year then.
Things are going okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, relatively speaking, sure. In reality, no, that's not a big win. But relatively speaking, considering what we've been looking at for a number of years, that would be fantastic. We'd certainly take that.
He's Mark Johnson. He's the Colorado play-by-play voice of the Buffaloes. You can hear him this weekend as the Buffs come into town, take on the Utah Utes on a Friday afternoon game, the day after Thanksgiving. So safe travels, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll just look over in that booth a couple doors down. You'll be able to see Scott Mitchell doing the analysis for Utah.
Well, fantastic. I'll wave at you. You wave at me. And you guys have a good Thanksgiving.
All right. We appreciate it. Not taking a break yet. But if you've joined us on the show, and just as Mark Johnson just did, the play-by-play voice of the Buffaloes, he did it on the Smart Rain guest line. So Best of State winner Smart Rain, an incredible Black Friday sale going on right now all the way through November. And so Smart Rain's going to be giving those controllers along with a free iPad or Apple iPad to commercial properties who are going to be signing up for paid cellular and hosting subscriptions. Visit smartrain.net for more information at smartrain.net. Scott, what's with Colorado? Like, what is their identity? I mean, you look at these teams, everybody knows what Utah's identity is. Whenever we go to Pac-12 Media Day, you know, we spoke with Carl Durrell this year, Mel Tucker 2 years ago, and we're kind of like, what is Colorado? I mean, yeah, they had that year in 2016, but I don't know what Colorado identifies itself as a football program. I don't know what it is that you look at Colorado and say, I mean, they had some amazing years. Obviously, back in the late 80s,
won a national championship. I mean, this is a place that has a history and a pedigree and a lot of they had a lot of talent. They brought a lot of talent into their program in that time. Some really, really special players and I know that it's always about recruiting, but it's about a coach that can recruit. I mean, it really is. And getting the right coach in, the guy that's just bought into a program. I think of Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. I mean, and you look at Oregon State a couple of years ago, and they were a dumpster fire. They were a team you go, Utah's going to – that's an automatic win. And you go, not in this next century is Oregon State going to turn things around. But they have, and they have a lot because they got a coach that's bought into, and he's committed to the program.
Right.
He's a tenacious recruiter. Mm-hmm. He's a you get in the transfer portal. I mean, you can turn things around quickly. But to Mark's point, and I think it's a valid one, you really have to have that coach, and you need to create that consistency. And I just wonder if a place like Colorado really wants to win. I'm not convinced of that. I just think there are a lot of institutions in the Pac-12 where academics just supersedes everything, and I don't think there's this tenacious desire for a lot of programs to win. The ones I feel I don't think it's like that way at USC. It certainly isn't at Cal. I don't know that it is at Stanford. I don't know that it is at maybe even Washington. I mean, I just don't know. There's just a lot of schools, and so. You get these other conferences where football is king. Football matters in these conferences.
How does Utah take – I know Kyle Whittingham's vibe is not to take things not seriously, but when you say that, there's an automatic feeling of, we don't even need to win this game. And I know that Kyle Whittingham doesn't get his guys ready with that attitude ever, but we know that you just it's a hard thing to try to take all It's a hard thing to try to put that in the back of your mind and go, no, we treat every game the same. It's not.
But when you have a culture that you've established, and there's just a certain way that you do things, and Utah's, they just do it a certain way, and that's not going to change. And you've got a coach that's committed to that type of process. Coach Shula he reminds me a lot of Kyle Whittingham in that he can just kind of stay in that same grind, that same focus, the same practice schedule, the same routine. Week after week after week after week, and he doesn't ever get out of his lane, and Kyle Whittingham is really good at that. So for him to say, I'm going to take my foot off the gas this week because the game doesn't matter. Now, the players may not come out with the same effort and energy. I don't know, but I guarantee you that the focus and emphasis is going to be about finishing out the season, doing it the right way, and not taking anything for granted and making sure that you stay in that rhythm that you've developed, because this team is really peaking at the right time. Mark said another thing where, Colorado just doesn't have the depth, and Utah has the depth of Utah might be the main reason that they've had so much success this year. Utah's fresh. They're fresh because they've got all these players in these positions. They can run players through and sub them out by design, not because they're tired, so that when you get to the end of the year, you're not all beat up, you're not all banged up, and you're still playing with a high motor and high intensity. And it really jumped out at me against Oregon last week, where Utah was just fresh. So having built a culture and having that freshness, that is huge.
I'm interested to see how this thing turns out tomorrow, to see if Colorado shows up for it, see how well Utah shows out, you said it, it's kind of a weird thing to try to plan for, where you go, man, it'd be nice to be ahead by enough to get some of those reserves in and rest some of your guys. It's like famous last words, right, when you start talking about that with a game.
Well, a couple of years ago when Utah played BYU, they were down by 3 touchdowns, I think, or
they're
two.
Kind of coasting to the next week, right, because it didn't matter.
It did. The game meant nothing.
All right, we're going to take a break.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.